My name is Will.
My name is Anand.
And I'm Jamie.
And today we will be reviewing Pusha T's album, My Name Is My Name. Originally from Virginia, he actually made his way onto the hip-hop radar as a part of the duo Clips with his brother Malice, who's now known as No Malice. They released several albums spanning from 2001 to around 2010. And around 2010, they started to go in their separate ways. And then Pusha T signed with Kanye West's Good Music label in the past few years. He's been very prolific. He's gained some more recognition in the mainstream. And this was his debut album under the new record label. And so as a whole, I thought the album was, I liked it a lot. There were some drawbacks to it, but for the most part, even if there are drawbacks to it, it still shows very brightly for the future. One of the main things people have criticized Pusha T for in the past is that he's good at making singles, but the cohesiveness of his albums tends to be lacking. There's many different types of songs. There's several like subgenres of hip-hop are present within the album. For example, the song No Regrets, I felt that was more of mainstream hip-hop, while the songs King Push, Suicide, and Snitch were more like, they're less based upon the beat and more based upon the actual lyricism, which tends to be more associated with underground hip-hop. What did you think about it, Anand?
Yeah, so basically when I first listened to this album, I was really excited. The first four tracks were really, like, they got me hyped up. I was like, wow, this is looking to be one of the best albums of this year. Especially with songs like King Push, where the production on that was just really epic. You have, like, this really strong bass, the drums are very, very climatic, and then the chipmunk vocals are very catchy. Then you have a song like Numbers on the Board, which is just, it just exhibits Pusha T's lyrical versatility on the mic, and every single line is just loaded with wordplay and double entendres, and I just really like that, and I love the beat on this as well. I thought that even though it was very simple, it complemented Pusha T's rapping style. And then following, you have tracks like Sweet Serenade and Nostalgia with features such as Chris Brown and Kendrick Lamar. And even though I normally don't like Chris Brown, I really like this song because of the fact that it didn't really sound like Chris Brown at all. When I first heard it, I didn't recognize him. And I actually had to look at the track list in order to find out who was singing. But I really liked the production on Sweet Serenade. I thought it was very slow and very atmospheric. And it just put me in a good vibe. And then Nostalgia, of course, Kendrick and Pusha T killed it with their verses. And once again, the beat on this is very similar to Numbers on the Board. And it was very simple. And I really liked it.
I do agree with you on the part of Pusha T. There was no point in the album where I felt like he was lacking in any way in terms of his raps. They were all spot on, very, very developed, very, very intelligent, very intellectual. He thought about everything he was saying, and that's one of the great things about him.
Yeah, Pusha T is definitely one of those rappers who has a mastery of lyrics, and he just plays with them in such a way that really I don't think anybody else can at this point. And this whole album, or on the whole, I think the album is kind of a letdown, but there are definitely tracks that stand out, like King Push, Numbers on the Board, and Nostalgia, that he just, his message and his lyrics come through so much, and the beat in the background is very simple, where all you're concentrating on is what he's saying, whereas for me, tracks like Sweet Serenade feel over the top and overproduced, where you're not really interested in what he's saying anymore, and it kind of takes a backseat to collaborations like that of Chris Brown and on Hold On, Kanye West, kind of overbearing, like, auto-tune, like, I don't even know what you call it, singing, just whining noise in the background.
Yeah, that's definitely, like, what I was getting at. Like, there was so many good tracks at the beginning, and then there's just this massive drop when the song Hold On comes on. Like, production-wise, it's a great song. Kanye West's pianos are really reminiscent of other stuff he's done, and I really just like the production on it, as well as Pusha T's verses. But then you have his auto-tune moaning, which just completely butchers the song, and it just gets worse and worse from here. Like, all of the choruses and hooks have auto-tune in them, and that's something which I just can't stand. So it's one of the reasons why I didn't like this as a whole, you know?
But while there are some of the beats are a little bit more powerful and a little bit more attention-grabbing, I do think that that brought a little bit of balance to the album, because if it's just all very simple, rolling beats, it can get kind of boring, and there's nothing... Because that kind of music, you have to be thinking about what's being said, keeping up, and I think that songs like Sweet Serenade, where the beat kind of drove the song, it helps to keep you interested, it helps to change the mood up a bit. I think it's refreshing to hear some of those tracks.
Yeah, I actually didn't have any problems with Kanye's production on this at all. Even on songs like Nostalgia or King Push, where the production was kind of, it kind of was a little bit more of what was appealing about the song, I still feel like that wasn't a detriment. Like, for me, the real problems were the auto-tune as well as the guest verses.
I think the production throughout the album is absolutely stellar, but when you add the collaborations, they just take away from Pusha T's message, and he's such a strong artist that in most cases, a collaboration just is kind of detrimental to the work.
To his credit, I don't think that the collaborations were aimed to really add to the album. I think it's because many of the artists that were featured on his songs were part of the of Kanye West's Good Music label, and for them, featuring as many artists as possible on songs is good business for them. It brings in more money. I think Pusha T's shortcoming here is letting them take too much of a driving role in it and letting them insert people into his songs when it was more to the detriment of the quality.
So, for me, I break this album up into three parts, which is normally not the case, but first part is Pusha T's lyrical ability, second part is the production, and third part is the features and the choruses. And so for these first two parts, I really thought that there was a massive amount of effort, and it was done really well. In fact, I would say this had the potential to be one of the greatest albums, period. Kind of like Good Kid, Mad City, but just because of the final part, the features and the choruses, it really just brought it down to the point where I couldn't even get through the latter half of this. This was not as enjoyable as I would have hoped it to be.
I agree, there are definitely some setbacks, especially when it comes to the collaborations and the features on this album. But overall, I think Pusha T really shines through not only with his lyrics, but his delivery. And I look forward to what he has to offer in the future.
Yeah, because he is a very talented artist. He knows what he's doing. And he'll know what people think of the album, and he'll know how to fix it. And moving forward, hopefully there will be fewer features, it'll be more lyric focused. Not that it's not lyric focused right now, but more thoroughly across the album. It'll be more what people like about Pusha T, and yeah, just the next album should be pretty great.
Alright, so all in all, despite the fact that there were a handful of gems in this album, overall, as a project, there were too many shortcomings on all the tracks with the features and auto-tune choruses that it felt far from cohesive. When you look at a project as a whole, you can't simply say that it's good because you liked the third bit and the second third was neutral. So this is why, in my opinion, this album deserves a 5 out of 10 at best. Because when it was good, it was good. It was great even, but just when it was bad, it was absolutely terrible.
Going off of that, I think you're totally right. When it was bad, it was just almost unbearable to listen to. But I feel like it definitely does not merit a 5. I would probably go with maybe like a 7.5 on this album, just because I think his lyrics are just so amazing and his delivery is just so on point that I think he just really outshines the negatives of this album.
I mean, yeah, not to be like mean, but I mean, like, when I think of something that's above a 5, like, I really have to like it, and usually like a 9 or a 10 is something which, like, hands down, it's like the best album I've ever heard, like, ever, so that's why.
For me, you guys, you gave it a 5 out of 10 because you thought that the features and the choruses were just not very good. I'm embarrassed to admit it, but like I'm not completely against that kind of music. Sometimes it's very enjoyable to listen to, and it didn't really take away from the album too much for me. Like, I would like it to be different in the future, but here I just felt like it all kind of worked together. It wasn't completely cohesive as an album. I think I'd give it like an 8.